link to those documents at democracynow.org. I want to thank the whole team that's made Democracy Now! Happen here in Warsaw. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felser, Amate Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkafani Masood, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Dennis Moynihan, John Hamilton. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman in Warsaw, Poland. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard for Sunday, November 17th. ZZ Top will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. The Smithereens will be at the Fairfield Theater in Fairfield, Connecticut, 7:45, Stage 1. Mavis Staples will be at City Winery, Manhattan, 8 p.m. The Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport welcomes Travis McKeveny at 1. Your concert billboard for Monday, November 18th. The As Is Ensemble will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, 8 p.m. Mono will be at La Poisson Rouge, Manhattan, 9 p.m. Brain Cloud will be at Barb's in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. The Breakdown Brass Band will be at the Brooklyn Bowl, 8 p.m. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, November 19th. Mavis Staples with the Deadly Gentlemen will be at City Winery Manhattan, 8 p.m. Kanye West will be at the Barclay Center in Brooklyn. Dorian Wallace will be at Something Jazz Club, Manhattan, 9 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, November 20th, Starry Nights will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts right here at Stony Brook University, 8 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook.
And it is 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for Off the Wall. And very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Finn.
Hey there.
And Kyle is on the phone.
Yes, I'm always here.
Well, you're back. You're back in Washington State, having taken a cross-country journey again by rail.
Yeah, I went the opposite direction from New York.
Is it very different going the other way?
Yeah, it's a little different, I'd say.
Any adventures? Any robbers or pirates or anybody get on board?
Oh, no, not that I saw. I met a lot of really interesting people. I feel like I had more conversations. I walked around a little bit. Oh, excuse me.
Place falling apart, eh?
There's a bug. It distracted me.
Oh, okay. Well, if you need to get the bug, that takes priority, believe me. I was hunting
in my office. I'm doing a little pest control.
Uh-huh. And yet you're still in it. I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. But it was such an easy line to take. tell us about, after you finish hunting down your prey, how many kinds of different conversations and different people did you meet, and what circumstances did you have on the train?
Well, there's two different lines. You stop in Chicago and then switch to the Empire Builder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the trains were a little bit nicer. I got onto a refurbished superliner from Chicago to Seattle. That was kind of nice.
Those are the double-decker trains, right?
Yeah. So it's always a larger train on that part of the route.
Uh-huh.
And I had a couple meals. I met a woman who was taking care of her a friend's kids. She was really interesting. I think she was like a Bible teacher or something. I also met some farmers.
You met some farmers on the train. Wow.
Yeah. They're actually just locals going to from a marriage, and they're going out hunting afterwards. And
wait, hold on. And what state was this in?
North Dakota.
Okay, so wait. You can't get more Americana than this. So in North Dakota, you met a couple of farmers on a train going from a wedding to a hunt.
It sounds like hunter-gatherers.
This is awesome. This is like, you don't do this on planes. You know, this doesn't happen on airplanes. And you had a conversation with them?
Yeah. I talked a lot with them. They had some interesting things to tell me about the area. And I also met a couple that was coming from Illinois that was visiting Seattle. That was really interesting.
Wow.
We chatted for a while. They were asking me things to do in Seattle and stuff like that.
Well, they couldn't ask a better person. You must have given them a really a good sense of the city.
Yeah, I did. I tried. I really, really just gave them a couple ideas of where to go. I always mention the waterfront and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I met a guy who was on vacation. He was a Taiwanese. He's like in electronics engineering, like makes products and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool. He was talking about PCBs and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, and there were a couple other interactions I had. Some people that were working out in the oil fields in North Dakota also.
Oh, the fracking people.
The guy that's a chef and another guy who actually works out there.
Uh-huh.
Building and excavating and cement, whatever they do.
This is all part of the fracking industry?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that when you came eastbound, you mentioned seeing that in, I think the town was Minot in North Dakota.
Yeah, Minot and then Williston. And it's kind of nice. I like the little rolling hills along the track and like the scraggly trees, especially in, I guess, the fall now. They're like very small trees, but they're not shrubs. I don't know. It's interesting terrain.
Uh-huh.
But there is indeed a lot of oil excavation and surveying and drilling and they're basically saying for every one well out there, there's going to be 7 more built.
Wow.
And there's like a long list of big name companies that are involved in this, including like Halliburton. I mean, a lot of people already know this. I mean, that.
What isn't Halliburton involved in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's they say it's like a, you know, gold rush, or like it's the Wild West out there, and it really is like roughing it. A lot of that housing is being inflated, and so people are making a lot of money there, but, you know, it's really hard living, and
You mean they're making a lot of money, but they don't have a place to stay? Is that what it is?
Right, and people are bringing trailers and stuff like that. There's, like, trailer casinos along the way, I saw. And I
trailer
actually
casinos?
Heard a story at a meal about a guy who knew another guy that got hepatitis C and then was, you know, taking his 401k and took it to the casino and lost it. And, you know, these guys are making $2,000 a week doing, like, regular, like, construction work. Just pretty much, they say anything you can make a lot of money doing, but rent's like $1,600. So they're still making a lot of money, but they even have places like that are like pay showers and stuff like that. So I don't know. There's a lot of drugs and a lot of things supporting it, but as long as the drilling's going on, that's pretty much going to attract whoever's willing to put up with all that.
You know what's going to happen? There's going to be a sequel to that HBO show, Deadwood. Deadwood 2. The fracking years, you know, because that took place, I think, in North Dakota. And here we go again with the Wild West and speculators and everybody out for themselves. Fascinating. And the train just rolls right through all that.
Yeah. It seems to be a recurring thing. I mean, they're you just look. They give you a newspaper, and you can look through it. I guess they have, like, classifieds for all things. You know, there's just a lot of talk about it every time I go through the country. And you see it. I mean, that's a huge stop along the way. A lot of people are getting on and off the train. And this is a huge country.
Yeah, and Kyle, you said every time I go through the country, and I don't know if you realize just how cool a statement that is, because people who travel, for the most part, go over the country, but you actually go through it and see these things and meet these people, and it's just such a more valuable experience for doing that.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain right now. I'm trying to think of the other people I might have met. And
well, you went to the wine tasting, right? I did this when I went cross country. They had a wine tasting in the dining car.
Yeah, I did that too. In fact, I did that with a guy who looked to be like Indian, and I had eaten a meal with him and his wife. They were actually going to see their daughter in Seattle, and he sat next to me. And then the couple that was visiting, I believe from Illinois, they were across from me, and I went and tasted some wine, and they have cheese, and they're like that. I mean, that part of the route is really special. You know, they offer you champagne before you leave, and this was a refurbished Superliner, so it was like a lot of LED lighting, and the nightlight was kind of like a black light. This is like in your compartment. I also visited other parts of the train, but it's just very new. Like, you can get a place with your own bathroom and stuff, and that's the way to go, because a lot of these opportunities, like the wine tasting and meals, like where you'd share time with people, are included in your ticket. So it's really that whole experience, and they do take care of you like crazy. So you end up seeing these people at your meals, and you go to these little special things that are on that route, which is, in this case, the wine tasting. So, I don't know, this is kind of nice. They have trivia, and you can win a bottle. And
I understand you won a bottle. What was the question? And don't tell Finn the answer, because I want him to get it.
Uh-oh.
What's the name of the dimple in the bottom of a wine bottle?
Okay, Finn, you
have
10
I don't
seconds.
Know the answer.
Finn does not know the answer, but you have a lifeline if you want to use it.
Well, it annoys me because it takes up space where the wine would be.
You know, it does. What's the
right?
point of it? That's my question. What's
it
the
seems
point
like they're ripping you off by putting that dimple in.
So should I give you the clue that they had to give all of us, because none of us really knew right off the bat. There were some guesses, and people were guessing a lot. I mean, when you got a bottle of wine on the table for a trivia wise as a prize, you throw out some guesses.
Yeah, totally. All right, give us the hint.
Okay, the hint was it's a football term.
A tackle. That was my guess. Go ahead, Finn. Oh, Finn has his thinking cap on. He just put it on. Hold on.
Yeah, there was one other clue they had to give us.
All right. Well, Finn.
Give us the second clue.
That's no fair. I guessed on one.
All right. I'll make a guess.
Yeah.
A football term, huh? I will say
any football term.
I don't know. A field goal. Go ahead.
A field goal.
I'm doing my best.
We're talking American football here, right? not that other kind.
It could be either.
Okay.
All well, right. There's a hint right there.
What's the second? The second hint.
It's something you do at the beginning of the game.
A kickoff. Why would?
That's what I said.
The bottom of a bottle be a kick? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and that wasn't entirely right. It's called the kick.
Oh.
Or kick.
Oh, the kick.
Yeah, you know, you told me that before, and I forgot it. And I never would remember it. The kick. Why would they call it that?
Or a punt. I said kickoff.
So is there some ancient story that when bottles were first developed like that, that people kicked in the blown glass, or what was the story?
You mean it could be called either a kick or a punt?
I heard punt after. I'm not entirely sure. I think it's something you have to look up.
Maybe someone was calling you a punk for winning. Is that possible?
But you know what? I wasn't able to hear at that point. There's a lot of noise with the train and all of that.
You see, during my wine tasting, the train was stopped. It was stopped for several hours because there was something ahead of us. And that's where I made the joke, which is still talked about to this day, that the reason the train is stopped is because the engineer is in here having wine with us. And they're still laughing about that now. but I think I told you my trivia question. I'm not sure if Finn ever heard this one. Who is the only U.S. president to have a divorce? Go on, put your thinking cap back on. You're going to need it.
Punt?
No, that's not a president.
Oh.
No. Just guess a president, at least.
Warren G. Harding.
That's a good guess, but it's totally wrong. The correct answer is...
Does it begin with an H?
Ronald Reagan. Oh. Does not begin with an H.
I thought you meant during their presidential term as a possibility, which I would have been
wrong. I didn't
wrong
say
anyway.
That, did I?
No, you did not.
No. But no one else knew that. And, you know, I find as I ask random people in the street that question, a lot of people don't know that or just don't want to answer. And, yeah, I probably got a bottle of wine from that encounter. Kyle, what bottle of wine did you get?
I got a Gewurztraminer demeanor.
Yeah, any good?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
All right.
I used the rest of it for some cooking I did.
Oh, good, good. So that was your adventure going cross country. It's really an incredible way to travel. And as you said, they do take care of you. As soon as you arrive in Penn Station, you get your own lounge to hang out in, and you get all the meals included and things like that. It's really the only way to see the country. It's the only way to see any country, I think. Whenever I travel overseas, I try to take trains as much as possible because that's where you meet people. That's where you... you don't get the same level of stress. I mean, before you left, I was able to visit you on the train, see your accommodations before the train actually left. No big deal. Just imagine doing that on an airplane. It's like, yeah, I want to see Kyle's seat. You know, I'm just going to be there a second. I'll get off before the plane leaves. No problem. No, they don't let you do that.
No.
I've asked. They don't. Anything different in Washington, Kyle? The legalization of marijuana is, it's a fact now, but they're going to start actually selling soon through various outlets. Have you noticed anything in the streets to indicate that?
Right away, the one first thing I noticed that was different when I got back was when I got off the train and I jumped off. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people left in my car at that point, and I was able to get off as soon as my attendant said it was clear, and I jumped out, and then this lady from the dining car passed by, and it looks like she was already, like, done with everything, so she was ready to go, and I just said hi, and I was walking around. I had someone picking me up, so I was walking out to the turnaround where they... have taxis and ground transportation and stuff. And First thing I noticed is walking through the lower level of King Station. You weren't able to do that anymore. That's King Street Station in downtown. And what happened is I had finished the renovation, and it was really, really bright out, and there was a huge football game getting started, so a lot of, like, parties were going on across the street. And I walked into the station and looked at this gorgeous, gorgeous architecture, and it was really, really nice. After that long, long trip to see the whole lower level where I had been on before just a couple of years ago or a year ago, and it was all sort of closed up because they were working on it.
Yeah, in fact, that's when I arrived about a year ago in Seattle to this station that was all shuttered up and scaffolding everywhere, and I was like, am I in the right place? This doesn't even look like a train station. Very very confining and not at all open like you say it is now. I'm glad they finally finished that.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, the bathroom said men's and family or something like that, or like I don't know what it meant, but it's all like historically accurate or something. I want to go investigate more. The whole thing is really beautiful though.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, it's raining. I've noticed that it's cold. I've been trying to get adjusted.
Wow.
A little bit, and I think I got a little bit of a cold on the train because the air is a bit dry, and they turn the heat on, and it was really hot. Although in other cars it was colder. I don't know what the deal is with that, but
every car is its own world. I learned that on the Trans-Siberian Express. The car next to us had a nice woman running everything, and ours had a very nasty woman who kept the temperature. I forget if it was too hot or too cold, or I don't know. All kinds of restrictions that we had to deal with that no one else had to. So, yeah, you have to. I'm not sure if that's what was happening on your train, but it's definitely an environment, a traveling environment going through the country.
Yeah, and it was interesting coming down from the mountains on the last part of the ride.
Uh-huh.
And realizing that, like, winter's just starting, or it's very continuous in some spots there, but that it gets so much colder and snowier. They say that the doors freeze up on the train sometimes. So you realize it's a big undertaking, the whole thing. And for being in it for such a long time, there's so many things you think about, and it's a big part of the trip.
Well, you texted me a fact. You were texting me a bunch of facts throughout your trip, and one of them was that the Cascade Tunnel is the longest in the United States.
Yeah, that's up under near Stevens Pass, and I'm pretty sure I went through that.
I didn't know that.
Nor did I.
It is. It started out, there's a 6-kilometer one. It was 3 miles, or I'm not quite sure. And then they expanded and made a much larger one, and it's, I guess, to this day, the longest tunnel of its kind. Anyway, it goes through some serious mountains, I believe. And it's sort of the last part of the trip before you get into the lowlands here in Washington.
Well, I remember that last part was very scenic, and people were looking out the window at the forest and the mountains, and it was just a really good way to finish it off.
Yeah. And so I'm back now, and yeah, there's a lot of football. Oh, my gosh. People are going crazy about the Seahawks.
What? Why? Are they winning or something?
Yeah, they're doing an incredible job.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for them. But I asked about the marijuana, and is there anything different there?
No, I was transitioning to that. I think, yeah, I'm seeing like spots like coffee shops and they're not exactly like that, but more that aesthetic, like more relaxed names of some of these places.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of stuff going on with the medical marijuana.
Well, I was listening to something actually on the way over here on a CBC show called The Current, which I think you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how 60 families a month are moving to Colorado to get medical marijuana for their children for various ailments. And I just realized, listening to that, that this thing is affecting people all over, not only the country, but the world. People are flocking on these two states now because they see it as a new opening for something that has been forbidden.
Yeah, but the thing that people are saying now, this one attribute is going to be coming up, I think, is that people that were previously getting this stuff through medical means, in other words, having a prescription, they're becoming a target. They feel it from the government to some degree because the government's monetizing the black market, as it were, by coming up with a state monitored and taxed product, and they're trying to go after medical patients and co-ops as though that they're like taxable, and people are upset about that.
Well, I can imagine. Yes, they should be.
Yeah, I mean government is treating it like it's a loophole, and I really don't think that's fair. Personally, I think people that are patients that are working with a doctor that's prescribing it, and it meets the former laws, I don't think you should take away those other laws, because that was what those experiments or loosening of the attitude helped create the environment for I-502, I think.
And for those not familiar, what is that exactly?
That's the current stuff now where the state is creating the liquor stores and the or working with the liquor board to regulate sale of it for adults, about an ounce a person.
I see.
What I'd even like to see more of, which is, speaking of Canadians, more of is like a industrial use as well for hemp, like this
industrial hemp
car
hemp
you heard about. I don't know. I heard something on the radio. There's a car made out
using a car made out of hemp.
Yeah, all the parts of the vehicle are made out of hemp.
Really?
Well, not all the parts, but all the body parts.
Who makes this
and
car?
It's like a composite material.
Right.
They're making out of hemp. It's like an electric car. I just heard that today.
I heard that Teslas are going on fire. I didn't hear about this though.
Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah, because people try to light them. Is that no? Come on. But wow, this we're seeing some. I mean, you've talked about the Industrial Hemp Act before on this.
Right, I've talked about that a lot. So anyway, I don't think any of those laws should be like dismantled, or the government really has a right to go in and encroach on medical. You know, people that are already suffering, like, and if they're helping other patients, I think that's I don't think that's a big problem. I think they should really worry about the current experiment and having this work, like, and really be legal.
Well, as we know, it's all about control, right, Kyle?
Yeah, I've heard, yeah.
Well, speaking of control and of unpleasant things, this is something that just happened overnight, in fact, and something that, Kyle, you and I were talking about in wake of seeing Banksy and all his various bits of art. Have you seen any of the Banksy's films?
Yes, I have.
They're pretty cool.
I actually saw the one very briefly in the one in Queens we were discussing.
There were a bunch in Queens. Which one?
Well, there was one the construct out of the metal parts.
Oh, you saw the what was it, the Sphinx? Or,
yes.
Really? Before they carted that away.
That's correct, because it was the next afternoon they carted it away.
Wow. Well, the last message that Banksy left us was to save 5 points. He was not listened to because last night, the graffiti-covered facade of the tagging Mecca, known as 5 Points, was wiped out, leaving a whitewashed paint job for horrified artists to discover this morning.
But
what?
Interestingly, although everyone's initial assumption and would naturally be that it was Bloomberg's administration that ordered that.
I don't care who did it. The fact
it
is
was
they
the actual
it.
Building owner.
Well, sure, okay, but it still was a graffiti mecca.
Absolutely,
and
right around the block from it.
Kyle noticed it as we were driving into the city a few times. All my life I've gone back and forth, and I hadn't seen it, and we never actually went to it though.
Right.
So I will forever regret that. But yeah, according to the tweet, Yes, a tweet is the source of this. Five Points is gone. Building was painted overnight white with NYPD's blessing and without permits as usual. That's from the Five Points Twitter.
Right. The rumor currently has it that the building owner hired some people to come in and do it, and NYPD was on hand.
Well, the building's owned by a father and son, developers Jerry and David Walkoff of G&M Realty, and it's slated to be replaced by a pair of luxury high-rises.
And I have a feeling they should get used to having tagged buildings in the future.
Yeah, and all sorts of tagged things. So, yeah, that's a bit of sad news. I told you about that earlier, Kyle, so so I have to soften the blow a bit.
Yeah, that's going to be a spot. I mean, diehard riders will have that on, like, GPS or something. No matter what they put there, the airspace, I don't even know.
Wouldn't it be something if tomorrow morning developers were horrified to find that all the graffiti came back overnight? I think that would be pretty awesome.
Right.
I'm not advocating that, though. That's illegal.
Well, that's the thing with those kinds of movements, you know. It's good energy. So I hope it gets channeled to something positive, even in light of that.
Well, you know what I noticed? We were going around to seeing a bunch of the Banksy displays. We had Milu from Holland with us, and we were kind of driving around. Oh, today's Banksy is in the Bronx, so let's go up to the Bronx. And West Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens, all over the place. And it was a lot of fun in October doing this, but there was some negative reaction from taggers, artists, people who live in the community saying that this guy doesn't live here, he's rich, and it's well, just I thought there were silly complaints, to be honest, because what he was doing was cool. I mean, okay, yeah, it's not his turf, but you know what? This isn't West Side Story. It doesn't matter. He's basically doing creative things in the dead of night. They look amazing, and they are encouraging people to be artistic and creative. And yeah, you know what? They're worth a lot of money, but that's because you all like it. You know, it doesn't affect who he is or what he's trying to do. And I think we should be appreciating any time art is something that that gets the attention. You know, whether it be writing or photography. Or a play or graffiti, you know, it's something that should be celebrated regardless of where it comes from.
Yeah, and it's also bringing international attention to some communities that don't normally get international attention, and that's a good thing.
Interesting, too. I don't know if it was Bedford Stuy, somewhere in Brooklyn, maybe East New York, some place that was not the nicest place in the world, but all these people were flocking to because there was a Banksy piece there. And Banksy actually put the video of these guys saying, you can't see this unless you pay us to see it. Because because you would not have come to this neighborhood for any reason except for this. So we have to get something back for all this attention. And, you know, when you first hear that, you just think, oh, my God, what a bunch of scummy people that would do something like this. But then, you know what? They sort of have a point. They sort of have a point that this area is completely ignored. People just don't ever come there. They certainly don't support it in any way or try to make it better. So, you know, why not put something in if you're going to get something out of it? Now, of course, it probably just went into their pockets to start with. But the point is something I think that should be looked at. And I think that's one of the reasons why he put that up on his own website.
Right.
I think it's funny to hear graffiti artists criticizing other graffiti artists. It's graffiti.
It's true. But a lot of the graffiti is based on that. You know, it's basically criticizing one other graffiti artist and making yours better.
Right, right. But to say it's a bad thing, I mean, let it be what it is. I mean, what's really cool, and I think you were talking about this, is the reaction, the meaning that people attach to the art and the reason it is so valuable. And, I mean, there's a lot of, like, attitude and flair to what Banksy's work says, and I think that's why people like it, because it speaks to a bigger movement of consciousness, like what people really like feel about change and like what's going on in the world. And I don't know.
What amazes me though is that Banksy has been able to keep anonymous all these years, even after the movie came out, and even after this whole thing in New York. nobody really knows what he looks like or who he is. You know, for a while, Kyle, I thought you were Banksy. No, seriously, for a good week, I was convinced. I was actually logging where you were at certain points, and it was all tracking. So I was going to confront you with the evidence, but then I think something happened that just was impossible, so I knew it wasn't you. There was also a weird 24 hours where I thought I was Banksy. it's weird to have that kind of mystery surrounding somebody where you really don't know who that. Maybe Banksy is several people. Maybe Banksy is nobody. Maybe we'll never know.
Yeah.
And isn't that the beauty?
Robot.
Isn't that the true piece of graffiti right there? I think it is.
I think he's a robot.
Oh, he could be a robot, too.
Could be.
Absolutely. Could definitely be.
Hey, you know, we are in fundraising mode right here.
We are in the never-ending fund drive. Yes, it's still going on. You want to give out the phone number, Finn?
Sure. It's 631-632-6901. If you enjoy this kind of conversation, this kind of anything goes conversation right here on Off the Wall every week.
Anything goes? This is strictly scripted.
631-632-6901. We have a couple of volunteers standing by to pick up the phones. You can pledge any amount you would like. However, there's certain WUSB premiums that get a certain amount. $35 for a coffee mug, baseball cap, winter scarf. And I have to tell you today, Emmanuel and Kyle, it's getting a little chilly here, just like it is in Seattle. $50 for a T-shirt, $75 for a sweatshirt, et cetera, et cetera. Give
you
us
mentioned
a call.
The blanket throw thing?
The blanket throw, yeah, that's $75 for a blanket throw. I know we're obsessed with the blanket
throw.
Well,
I never heard of it before this show. I learned something from my own radio show.
It doubles as a bath mat and, you know, in your bathroom
Well, it only doubles if you can do it both at the same time.
If you drop it, it doubles. 631-632-6901.
It's an alternative use, that's what it is.
Make a pledge to this station right now. 631-632-6901.
Now, I know what you're all saying. You're saying, but wait a minute. Kyle's on the phone. He's in Seattle. How can we take phone calls? We have another phone line. That's right. We have another phone line for incoming calls, and Kyle's on the phone for outgoing. So don't worry. It won't mess anything up if you call in now. In fact, if a bunch of people call in, you can test our system and see just how we deal with that.
How much we can handle.
We have operators standing by. We have all kinds of people at attention here because, you know what, this show has been doing okay. We've been getting a couple of calls every week for the last, what has it been, 6 years we've been doing this?
I think it's the 12th year we're entering. 631-632-6901.
I mean consecutive.
Let's help WUSB stay on the air. As we have discussed most recently, you know, we just replaced our tube, and that sounds very strange, and maybe I shouldn't say that during primetime hours, but we really did
replace a tube.
Yes, we really did. That cost us a lot of money, and it's certainly in huge part thank you to you, the listener and the contributor and the member of the community. 631-632-6901. Help WUSB, help Emmanuel and Kyle, help Off the Wall stay on the air. 631-632-6901.
If there was any part of the conversation that we've been having over the past 40 minutes or so that touched you in some way, that made you think that maybe made you think of doing something differently, like trying something like maybe taking a cross-country train ride or just talking to more people or learning more about graffiti or changing legislation or things like that, then think about giving back from getting something out of the show and helping to ensure that there is a place for this show in the future. All you have to do is call 631-632-6901. And by doing that, you'll see the reaction in the studio. People will be jumping up and down and will be happy knowing there are people out there who care. And you'll feel great having donated to this place. You'll become a part of the WUSB family.
And we shall discuss the town that you are from.
Oh,
over
we're doing
and
that.
Over again.
We're still doing
we're
that.
Always
okay.
doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. If we have not done it already, because some people are calling more than once, and there's only so much we can say about small towns. But if you're calling and it's the first time that anyone from that place has called during this show, then we will certainly talk as much as we can about your town.
Right. And you know, Emmanuel, we now have the recurring gift option, which is a wonderful thing, which is where you can pledge as little as $60 and have it come out monthly out of your account.
And so it's really like $5 a month.
It's like $5 a month, which I swear you will not even notice.
You lose that much in the couch every month.
It'll be like us pickpocketing you. You won't even know it.
Maybe that's not the best analogy to use, but it is a small, trifling amount in the bigger scheme of things. Look at your cable bill. Look at your phone bill. Look at your tax bill, assuming you're one of the people who believes in paying taxes. It's a lot more than that.
And 631.
Yet, you get so much more out of WUSB, I believe.
631, 632, 6901.
Finn would stop talking over me. He was coming up next when you can talk by yourself and do 2 hours of music like he does every week. And it's awesome. Not only is it music, it's interviews, it's all kinds of looks at our culture. You've had people from the roller derby on.
I've had Noam Chomsky.
You've had Noam Chomsky on your show.
That's right.
Did you have Tom Waits on your show?
I did not have Tom Waits, but I did have his producer from the early years, Bones Howe, on the show.
That's what it was.
Who was on the show for about an hour and a half. I expected about 20 minutes. And I've had Randy Newman on the show.
Randy Newman's been on the show.
Also for almost an hour when he was booked for 20 minutes. We just talked and talked.
You had the Pope on at one time?
I had the Pope. I have every Pope on every time.
There you go. See, someone's got to do that.
Right after the smoke comes out. You know?
If there is anybody who can talk to anyone in the world, it's Finn. And that's a unique thing. There is no other radio station on Long Island that would have a program like Finn's program. Have
that's
a program
for
like
sure.
Off the Wall, or be able to bring you the adventures that Kyle and I have in various parts of the world. We just wouldn't be able to do that. And imagine how that would change your life to not have a radio station. Yeah, we could go on the internet and do this, but the radio is the magical part of it. That's what draws us. That's what makes us want to keep doing it. It's an actual complex with hundreds of people who come and do various things over the course of a week, and we have the equipment to produce all sorts of things. It's very, very different from just an online stream, which, of course, we also have an online stream, and that's not to be negative about those people who just do internet radio. But real broadcast radio is something that I think will always be a bit more magical.
Yeah, and if you appreciate this like we do as listeners as well, because we're part of the community too, 631-632-6901. Make a pledge to this station. Help us stay on the air.
And it's clear that Kyle has to say something for the calls to come in, because Finn and I just are not doing it.
Well, please call right now and donate, contribute to the station, even if it's a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money. Or somewhere in between, or part of the recurring payments that I think we're talking about a little bit earlier. Anyway, you can be a part of the station. Helps keep it going, keep us focused on getting our message and content and adventures lined up and looking good for radio, if that's even possible. And yeah, so we can continue to have fun with it, and instead of having to appeal more frequently or longer, we really are excited about getting equipment in shape and doing more good radio in the future. So 631-632-6901, and speak with one of our handsome operators.
Absolutely. 631-632-6901. And Kyle, you're all the way in Seattle. I bet you thought you were going to be able to avoid asking people to call in and pledge money to WUSB. But no, you know, there's no corner of the earth where you can escape WUSB's reach now. You know, it sounds ominous. I didn't mean for it to sound so ominous. But it's true. You know, we have listeners all throughout the entire globe now. That is something. That's
something
I never would have expected. In fact, Kyle, we've been listening in the car. There's various apps on phones and through other modern technology that allows you to drive a car anywhere in the world and listen to internet streams. So the time has come where it doesn't matter where you are, you can conceivably pull in WUSB live. And that is really, really awesome. So, yes, we are a local station. We broadcast to Suffolk County here in New York State. But we speak to the world, and the world speaks to us. And one way you can speak to us right now is to call 631-632-6901. I know we've been on for a few weeks asking people to do this. And the reason we are still on is because not enough people have. And you can help solve that problem by adding your voice and saying, yes, I care about WUSB. 631-632-6901. In all seriousness, we need those calls to come in because it's been a bit lackluster today, and we need to improve that.
Yeah, and if you've contributed before, thank you so much. During this drive, thank you so much for your contribution. But those of you out there right now who are listening, and we know you're out there, kids, give us a call right now. Anything is good. You know, the worst thing that can happen here is that your options as a listener to radio that is free thought, free speech, all those things, your options are diminishing in the world. The corporate octopus, as they say, is coming down hard on smaller stations, especially community stations. People want these airwaves.
It's all Halliburton, isn't it?
It could very well be all Halliburton, but
they're coming. They're coming.
They're certainly
us,
involved. Sir. But if maintaining an independent voice, I mean, you listen to our shows, you listen to Off the Wall, you could listen to, there's, I don't know, 15 talk shows at least on this station.
15 talk shows?
Something like that.
Wow.
And they are incredibly diverse.
We should have a talkathon.
We should. And they are incredibly diverse, and they all have a different angle. None of them are the same. It's not some station where the board of directors gets together and says, our voice is going to be conservative Tea Party, or our voice is going to be far left, or whatever it may be.
I can do conservative.
631-632-6901. This is diversity. Nobody tells Emmanuel what to say on the radio.
But if you do tell me what to say, I will play ball. I just want to make it clear that I'm a team player. I'll play country music if I have to. I'll do conservative. I can do it. All right?
We can be bought for brief times.
Whatever it is that management wants, I will do.
631-632-6901. The diversity of music, the diversity of talk shows, everything that happens on this station, you get nowhere else. It's like nothing else.
I mentioned a talkathon. We've never done that, but we do have many marathons here at this radio station. I believe we have a new music marathon.
That is correct.
And we have, is that coming up?
It's coming up. I don't have the date in front of me.
It's coming up soon. I know that.
Yes.
But if you listen to this radio station, you'll hear marathons of various sorts. There's the hip-hop marathon.
The Zapathon.
The Zapathon, blues marathons of all sorts, reggaethons. I know I'm leaving people out. I'm going to get hate mail. But basically, you imagine a genre, and we can do it for a period of days at a time.
And we do it better than anybody else because it's the deep cuts. It's not just the surface, quote-unquote, hits or more popular songs. Tonight I'm doing an Emmanuel O'Brien Eno special. You don't hear that every day.
No, you don't hear that every day. It's
631,
a shame you don't hear that every
631-632-6901. If you appreciate what we do here at WUSB, we do this because we love it. We do this because God knows there's very little else we could do in the world but this. 631-632-6901.
You're coming up with the best reasons for people to call us. Right? We sound so pathetic. And, take pity on us, folks. 631-632-6901.
We'll go for your pity. The pity vote is good.
The pity does pay the bills.
That's right. 631-632-6901.
Kyle, I know you have things to do out there, a lot of cleaning up, and you're still catching those insects, right?
Yeah, I am doing that, and watching the gold rush of sorts out here with the whole legalization thing, but I don't think it's all going to change that much. I think it's all just everywhere. And
well, that's a great concept, a gold rush for people going out west because there's a marijuana, basically discovering marijuana and like finding it and staking a claim.
Yeah, I think there's as with a lot of booms, as far as the industry goes, a lot of people are going to make some bets on this that aren't going to be really wise.
And wait, and the bets then will go up in smoke.
Hey now.
What? Come on, you gave me that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You know, it's something that I would expect.
Realistically, it's gonna be an interesting experiment, and I think people are really watching it. And those are words I'm hearing, and I am seeing more of the same in a lot of areas with it. So, another speaking of reasons you can call in. I can talk about this, too. You know, I was in a van. I was in a Volkswagen van, E.
A van from the 60s?
Yeah, well, 80s or 70s. But, yeah, I was in one of those.
A Vanagon or a bus?
A Vanagon.
Okay, all right.
I was talking about buses, though.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, there. I mean, that's something interesting. And, yeah, it was nice because they have good heaters, and I was cold, so I went inside to one of these vans and was checking it out. It was a neat thing to do.
I assume you knew the people in the van. You didn't just go into a van at random.
Well, in this case, I did. Yeah, I knew them.
Okay, good.
Knew them quite well.
Uh-huh. Well, that's cool. hasn't gotten any calls, but I think it's a cool story.
Yeah, what else? In general, it's, just keeping up with things here in the office. Lots of craziness. You know, when you hate it when people cancel things. You're a little late for something and things get canceled. You have to go back and reapply and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, I'm familiar with that syndrome.
Yeah. So I got to catch up on all the mail and push pens a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I've got a stack of mail myself that I'm dreading getting to. It's just sort of piling up, and yeah, you got to take care of these things.
Yeah, but it's interesting out here. I think there's one other thing I was going to mention. I forgot. I had a couple other anecdotes, silly things, but.
Well, we have about a minute and a half, so if you have any anecdotes, now's the time to present
them. Has time flown that quickly?
It really has.
Gosh.
I mean, we just can talk for an hour. That's why we should do a talkathon, because we could go all night long with our various stories and theories and things like that.
Wow. I need to wind up my pocket watch here. Things are slowing. Wow.
He actually does have a pocket watch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. With a chain and everything.
Yeah, I didn't get any comments about that on the train. I thought maybe, you know, conductor would ask me about it.
Had you used the monocle watch, like I suggested, I think you would have, but
no.
Next time. Well, in the last minute, any final words or perhaps a quick story or 631-632-6901 continues to be our phone number.
No, not really. nothing that I can think of. I forget what I was thinking. I was thinking about a couple things, but.
Well, you know what? There's the future. There are weeks ahead of us, where we can talk about these things or have new adventures, and that's assuming this radio station is still here. And that is basically up to our listeners if they support the place. 631-632-6901. Kyle, I want to thank you so much for all that you do and for sharing your stories. And I'm sure that you enlightened some people on the way cross-country with various tales that you told them.
Yes, there's quite a bit of evangelizing and lots of interesting insight and things to see. And I don't know, I'm better for it. Sorry, I'm a little out of it. I basically was woken up today, really late. So
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm just getting my day started, actually.
All right. Well, listen. You have a good day out there in the West Coast, and we'll speak with you again real soon.
All right. Have fun.
All right. Take care.
Good to speak with you.
Have a good night. See what I did? I hung up the phone physically.
That was a good sound, too.
I'm sorry, your mic is off.
Oh, that was a good sound.
It was a good sound, but, you know, it also hangs up the phone. I mean, I could just press the button, but you don't hear anything. But doing that, actually,
we really didn't do that. We just hit a button and cued that effect, didn't we?
No, we actually did it. Okay. We don't mess around like that. Hey, you know, you're on the air, and I have a 5-minute outro. So,
oh yeah,
I'm sorry about that. Nonstop, I've been listening to the Electric Light Orchestra for some reason. I don't know why.
Jeff Lynne, baby.
Yeah, it's very contagious. Well, we're going to go out with, as predicted, one of their songs. But you know how it is when you listen to ELO is that it's a suite. So if you don't play the whole album, so I'm sorry, this song is going to cut off very abruptly at the end. That's just the way it is. So it's nothing that Finn did. So don't blame him when his show starts.
Jeff Lynne, don't call in.
Please, not stop calling. Thank you. See you next time. Good night.
Daylight comes to those who live, but to die, they never see. Sun comes shining through their window pane, they pass away. You began to be a fool, you didn't play the golden rule. Cause once you're through with one word, there's another waiting there. Afraid of anyone, 'cause there ain't no one there.